Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a production of the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. It's a webcast and a podcast. Webcast coming to you every Wednesday around 11 a.m. at DJournal.com. The podcast version drops later in the day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or PrepRally.DJournal.com. Brad Locke here with you, online editor for the Journal and prep reporter Blake Morgan. Blake, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
No, I'm doing well. Thank you. No Gene Phelps today. He's on assignment. He's got to go do some actual work today. So it's just Blake and I, and we've got
to be easy not doing real work, right? I enjoy it.
I enjoy not doing. I mean, look at this. This isn't work. I just get to sit here and talk into a camera.
Yeah.
And I get paid for it. So anyway, we've got a lot to cover today, Blake. I hope you and I can handle it alone. And a lot of it does have to do with Tupelo football. Gene's not here. That's his beat. He covers them all the time, but we'll do what we can. There's plenty other to talk about as well. Besides just football, we got all kinds of sports happening right now. We got softball just finished up. We got a couple of state champions there. We got volleyball going on still, playoffs, swimming championships coming up. So all of that. We'll have athletes of the week, of course, as well at the end of the program. So thanks for joining us. Do want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Okay. Let's get to it. Ain't got no time to waste, Blake. Let's do the football rewind. We do this every week during the football season, looking back at some of the key results from last weekend. Week 10 is behind us. Hard to believe. Regular season only has a week or two left, depending on what class you're in. Let's look at that Tupelo team. Went and defeated DeSoto Central 33-13 last week. Had a big run game using that Delta formation, as they call it, Blake. And this was a game where Tupelo started off kind of slow, and they'd done that a couple of times this year. Had slow starts, but then in the second half, they really pick it up, and they did it behind the running game this time, Blake. And, you know, just another win for Tupelo. They're, 9-0 now?
Yeah, 9-0.
So Tupelo doing awfully well. In fact, we're going to talk about this in a minute, about how they're the best team in the state.
Mm-hmm.
At least according to the polls, they are. Tupelo, I mean, they're undefeated. They're rolling through the division. I mean, you know, I didn't know a lot about this team coming into the year, Blake. They had the quarterback situation was kind of up in the air. That made you think, well, they could have some struggles this year on offense. Yep. Well, obviously, they've not struggled too much. Scored 33 points against DeSoto Central. And they've got just a bunch of really good running backs. And, of course, Stephon McGlon has played well. Ray Sandroni has had to step in a little bit the last couple of weeks at quarterback. He's played pretty well. It's a Trent Hammond team that, you know, you saw it at Amory. I mean, you didn't, but I did.
I've heard things.
When he was coaching there for years ago, I mean, when it is clicking, it is hard to stop.
Absolutely, right? And, you know, it's Trent Hammond teams from, you know, what I've watched this year and what I've been told, like, it's really sound defensively. You know, they're not going to beat themselves on defense, and then they're going to find ways to put it together on offense. And this Tupelo team has the players and the athletes at running back, and they really have a good wide receiver core too.
Oh yeah,
where they make the plays, and they've done enough to win every game so far this season.
Yeah, looking back at that DeSoto Central game, I was trying to look at some stats real quick. Again, they got some good running backs, and like I said, good wide receivers who sometimes will run the ball as well. Trent Hammond does like to use his receivers in the running game a good bit. Let me see here. Who we got? We got a I'm trying to see. Williams scored twice for Tupelo. I forgot his first name now, but I mean, they get it from different guys too. I mean, it's not just one or two guys. That's what's great about this offense. You got LeBron Sedell. He had 117 yards. He had the big game running, and you know, just this formation that they use, they call the Delta formation. It's just good old smash mouth football.
Yeah,
down to it. Which, you know, a lot of times at Amory, you'd see him running these sweeps with the receivers, and it might not look like smash mouth, but Trent Hammond obviously able to kind of adjust and do what he needs to with this offense. We'll talk more about Tupelo in just a minute. Pontotoc defeated Itawamba AHS 40-19, and a lot of people thought that might be a close game.
Yeah.
Blake, but Pontotoc is just, you know, except for the one hiccup, they've looked really good all year.
Yeah, and I don't know. And of course, a lot of the seedings are up in the air, but I would love for Pontotoc and Amory to play again. I think that would be quite the matchup. You know, that was, of course, Pontotoc's only hiccup. And they're a team that obviously, I mean, they when they're clicking on offense, they're really dangerous. Carter has had a great year, 10 for 13, 212 yards, three touchdowns. Can't ask for a better game than that.
Efficient.
And, you know, and I wrote about the defense a few weeks ago because I feel like they kind of get overshadowed by how great the offense plays. Yep. But this Itawamba team, I mean, we've seen them put up 50, 60 points multiple times this year. And
yeah.
Pontoc held them to 19.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, Pontotoc looking very impressive. Wonder how deep they can go in the 4A playoffs. And speaking of 4A, another big game this past week, Shannon against Corinth, the Red Raiders with the win 26-21. That puts Corinth's playoffs hopes in a bit of jeopardy.
They now dropped
down to, are they out officially?
They are out officially.
Okay. So they're 1-3 in division.
Is that a 16 or 17 year streak done?
That's an impressive streak. They had a new coach this year, Todd Lowry, that wing tee. You know, they had some good games with it. Other games, it didn't quite do, you know, wasn't quite as explosive. They managed just 21 points against Shannon. So they're out. Then I guess that means we've got the top four in Division I 4A. It's a matter of where they're going to fall.
Yeah, it's a matter of seeding. And let's see, I got some of it here. But I know Amory's number one.
Right.
And it'll come down. Pontotoc, if they win this week against Shannon, they'll be number two, and Shannon will be number four, with Itawamba being number three.
Yeah, Pontotoc is currently 3-1, and then you've got Itawamba and Shannon both at 2-2. And I'd have to go back and look. I can't remember exactly who beat who. These teams all play each other. Yeah. There have been some.
I know Corinth has lost to Shannon and Itawamba, and so that's why even if Itawamba and Shannon were to lose.
They don't have a tiebreaker.
Yeah, Corinth doesn't have any tiebreakers.
I gotcha. So Corinth's out of the playoff picture there. Some other notable results real quick. We mentioned Amory. They clinched the division last week by beating Tishomingo County handily, 48-0. Houston lost a tough one to Louisville. That's 27-23 was the final there. We actually had a story this week, didn't we, Blake, on Houston. And looking to bounce back from that, just he said basically that was like their worst performance of the year, wasn't
it? Yeah, he's, you know, talking to Ty Harden. And, you know, he was just like, you know, it was just one of those games where everything just went wrong. And, he was saying, you know, not to make any excuses, but, like, we were just off that day. Yeah, and we're looking to bounce back this week. They got Knoxville County.
Okay. And then you had Baldwin and Walnut, a battle of two top teams in Division 1-2A, and Baldwin walked all over Walnut in that one, 52-8. So I guess that clinches the division for Baldwin, doesn't it? They've got Mantachie left.
Yeah,
they should beat.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they got.
And they're undefeated. They've already beaten Walnut. They've beaten
East Union and Watt. So yeah,
so they've got the tiebreaker on that, even if they somehow lost to Mantachie. So that's just a quick look back at Week 10 of high school football, and now we look ahead. Big games this week as we get toward the end of the regular season. Still some division races undecided. Playoff seeding, obviously. Playoff berths still on the line these next 2 weeks. Let's start with Tupelo again. Undefeated. Can clinch the division, Division 1-6A, if they beat Horn Lake. And Horn Lake is having a pretty good year, 8-2 overall, 3-2 in Division 1-6A. And looking at Horn Lake's schedule, they're coming off a loss to Hernando last week, 42-27. That's a team Tupelo beat. That was the 31-0 game, I believe, for Tupelo back in September. And then the other loss came to South Panola. That was a 7-0 loss back in September for Horn Lake. Of course, Tupelo beat South Panola 3-0 a couple of weeks ago. So this could be, Blake, a good game.
Yeah.
And it's going to be at Tupelo, but I guess probably the main concern for the Golden Wave, the coaches especially, are like, okay, keep your head on straight, because guess what? You're now the number one team in the state. The new AP rankings came out this week. And, of course, with Clinton losing to Warren Central last week, that bumped Tupelo up to number one in the overall rankings and in the 6A rankings. They got 11 out of 12 first-place votes. Warren Central got the other one in both the overall and 6A rankings. So you got to say they're the favorite in 6A to win it all. And I don't know what's going to come out of the South.
They're number one.
I don't know who's going to be. Yeah, exactly. But you don't know what the South is going to bring to the table.
Right.
And you still got to get there as well. But they can clinch the division with a win this week against Horn Lake. Blake, I mean, we said it before, this team has just been exceeding expectations a little bit, I think.
Absolutely.
And they've beaten everybody you put in their path, and they beat a good Brandon team that was ranked number two at the time. I mean, this is they haven't played a soft schedule.
No, not at all, right? Like they don't have a lot of pushovers on the schedule, which goes to this game against Horn Lake, I was talking to Gene getting ready for the show, and he said that the defensive staff thinks Horn Lake might be the best offense that they've faced all year.
Really?
And Gene said, you know, with Halloween coming up, Horn Lake's running back is Tyler Grimm.
Mm. Does he have a brother? The brother's Grimm?
Yeah. He's rushed for almost 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns. And, yeah, I mean, Gene was saying the defensive staff at Tupelo's, I don't know about worried, but, like, they realize, like, this is a big game. And also, yeah, it's the first game when you have number one attached to you if you're Tupelo.
Exactly.
Something bad could happen. Now, Stephon McGlon is supposed to be back. He did not play last week. Ray Sandroni stepped up in about 2.5 quarters in the South Panola game.
Right.
And also last week. So, I mean, and he's a senior. He won the first game of the year. Like, he's obviously capable of filling in, but McGlon kind of takes the offense to another level. And he is supposed to be back for this game.
Okay, so we'll probably see McGlon. May see them both out there.
Yeah, yeah. You could very well see them both.
Okay. Well, you look at Horn Lake, just looking at strictly the numbers, you mentioned the offense. They average 31 points a game. That ranks second in Division 1-6A to Hernando, which is averaging 37.5 points a game. And again, Tupelo shut out Hernando. So I don't think this defense will be intimidated.
No.
But, you know, if they keep playing the way they have, you'd expect Tupelo to win this one. All right, that's a lot of football I know we just touched on. Let's switch gears a little bit. Real quick, talk about some of these other sports. Softball, the slow-pitch playoffs concluded last Saturday down at Ridgeland. We had three area teams playing for state titles, and Morville lost, but Hamilton won the 1A title. East Webster won the 2A title. So pretty good representation there by softball.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel bad because the one team I was covering was Morville and they lost. So I guess that was the bad luck.
Jinxed it, Blake.
I know.
Morville will be back, I'm sure.
Yeah. And we'll watch for them in fast pitch.
That too. Exactly. Yeah. And volleyball. Now, volleyball is still going. We've got the Final Four, as they call it, coming up.
Yes.
What do we got there, Blake?
Yeah, we got Tupelo is playing Hancock Friday night. Okay. And Oxford is – dang, I did not write it down. I'm sorry.
Well, Oxford's in the mix.
Yeah, Oxford is also playing Friday night. They're both playing Friday for the chance to advance to the championships on Saturday.
Right. So those two teams will both very good. It could bring home state crowns. And
they're playing Ridgeland because it's not in Ridgeland.
No,
right?
It's at Millsaps.
Oxford. So Oxford's playing Ridgeland.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we got swimming coming up.
Yeah. Soon. Yeah. Swimming state championship is on Saturday in Tupelo. The Tupelo boys are going for their 10th consecutive state title and they are favorites.
They're good. Lucas Smith, he knows what he's doing there. He's been coached there for a while. All right, so that's just a couple of quick updates on some of these other sports. Enrollment numbers are out. Mm-hmm. Blake, we found this out, I guess, yesterday or the night before.
Yeah.
New enrollment numbers that are unofficial.
Yeah.
What this means is we have a pretty good idea of who might be changing classifications. Of course, they do this every 2 years. They reclassify teams based on enrollment. So you have some teams that will go up or down in classification. And some notable moves that are possible, and the one that sticks out to me the most is Oxford could move up to 6A.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And they'd be in there they'd be in the division with Tupelo, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
because you have Olive Branch. According to their numbers, they would be one of probably the biggest 5A school, but they would move down. They've been 6A forever since they started since they went to six classifications. They've been 6A, and they were 5A before that when it was just went up to 5A. So yeah, it looks like could have a swap there between Oxford and Olive Branch.
Right.
We got a couple other teams that in the area that could move up. Morville to 4A and Lafayette to 5A.
Yeah.
And now, again, like this is not official.
No, not official. It said in the story that was in the paper today, it's middle of November or whatever. And teams still have a chance to
appeal.
Yeah, appeal.
Yeah, the school's going to appeal the numbers if there's something that maybe is off about them.
Absolutely.
And most schools that would do that might be a school that's borderline.
Yeah. Like, for instance, Morville is going to be the third smallest 4A school.
Yeah, and that would be a big jump for them, especially in football.
Big time jump. And, the way Gene was explaining it to me, they get these numbers, but Morville could appeal or anyone could appeal and say, well, those numbers were from whenever. Yeah. Since then, we've had 10 kids drop out or transfer, and you know, that would actually slate us in this division.
Right, right. So they still got to figure that out. I think it's next month they'll they'll officially, MHSAA will say, okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's how things are going to look for the next 2 years, starting in 2017-18 school year.
Two other movements for the area is Houston dropping to 3A, which they are pretty good in 4A. They are. You would imagine they would immediately become one of the big-time hitters in 3A.
Certainly.
And TCPS moving from independent to 1A.
Yeah, because they had to drop football for one season. That meant they had to just start over again as far as getting classified. And so they've been playing independent the last few years, and they will jump back, which is 1A is where they were before.
Yeah.
And so they'll be in a division in a 1A starting next school year. Okay. All right, let's close out the show with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, recognizing a male and a female athlete for their accomplishments on the field of play. Let's go with the female athlete of the week first, Lacey Holly, a first baseman for Hamilton softball. Of course, Hamilton won a state title last weekend in 1A. They beat Bogachito in a best-of-three series in the game, and the series went all three games. The numbers for Lacey Holly, 10 hits over the three-game series. Two of those were doubles. Three of them were home runs, I believe. 11 RBIs, maybe on the two home runs. I think I'm bad at math. I wrote it down, then I think I put it down wrong on here. Anyway, she did well. 11 RBIs, 7 RBIs in the first game.
Which they won.
They won the games 1 and 3. Then she had 3 RBIs in the game 2 loss and another RBI in the clincher. And not only that, go back to the North Finals earlier in the week against Smithville. She had 6 home runs in that series. Yep. So that's a lot of production. And, you know, slow pitch lends itself to offense, obviously. But even so, that's impressive. So congrats to Lacey Holly of Hamilton softball. The male athlete of the week, this was an easy one.
Easy.
As soon as we saw the numbers Friday night, we're like, okay, here's your male athlete of the week. Zay Cullens, North Pontotoc running back. You know, he'd had some struggles early in the season.
Absolutely.
He padded those numbers nicely. He's going to end up with a good number at the end of the year. He had 306 rushing yards this past Friday against Aberdeen. Aberdeen struggled, but still, that's you know, you roll up 300 plus on somebody rushing, you've done something.
Oh yeah.
He scored 6 touchdowns. Again, 49-12 was the final, North Pontotoc over Aberdeen. Not only that, Zay Cullens gets it done on defense as well. He forced a fumble and had an interception. So
Memphis Tiger commits right there.
Yeah, doing everything there, Zay Cullens. So congrats to him as well, male athlete of the week. That's it for this podcast today, Prep Rally. Again, you can find us here every Wednesday. It's a webcast and a podcast. The webcast goes on live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later in the day. You can find it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps for updates on when new shows drop. And, of course, on Friday nights, we're tweeting out scores like crazy. You can follow Blake on Twitter at Blake Morgan DJ. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Do want to remind you of a couple of other podcasts we have here: The Memo, All Things Northeast Mississippi News and Entertainment with myself and W. Derek Russell every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then we have Double Coverage, an Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports podcast with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. New episodes every Thursday with those guys. All right, that's it. We'll be back next Wednesday. Perhaps Gene will rejoin us. We'll talk about
girls basketball preview.
We've got more sports
Tuesday.
More sports to talk about.
Yeah, and I've got a guys basketball preview coming out Wednesday.
So, all
so
this,
more sports beginning.
When did y'all find time to do basketball previews?
In between these podcasts.
I've been there. I know how difficult that can be. So so we got basketball previews coming out
next week.
Tuesday. Basketball's here already.
Right.
It's a crazy time of year. All right. Well, good work, Blake and Gene, wherever you are. Thanks for your contributions and getting Blake prepped for this. You know, I feel like we're missing an arm or something without Gene here. He's so knowledgeable. That's code for saying he's been around a while.
He knows everything. Yeah.
But anyway, we'll all be back next week, hopefully all three of us. Until then, I'm Brad Locke for Blake Morgan. Have a good one.